sagen, real four.
You hear that the war had ended?
Well, we were still in Hamburg and we knew it was on its last legs and we heard it were all over. And so we was really celebrating then because we'd come through it alive. That was the main thing.
How did you celebrate?
Well, the generous officers who pinched three ton loads and loads of whiskey from the ship we'd found for them, give us, there were dicks on the end of the table, and as they were dishing the grub out, they give us a little tot each. So we said you could stick it up your jacksie, because we had a zone.
What was your feelings at the end of the war?
Well, it was great relief at the end of the war, and very pleased that we'd come through it alive, so many of us, but so many hadn't. And all I wanted then was to get home.
What was the condition of Germany at the end of the war?
Well, actually, the money was no good. They'd have big rolls of banknotes and trying to buy cigarettes off you and that, but they were no good. So they had to get Allied marks from somewhere, and then we could do a deal and they could buy the cigarettes off us. Now, I was a heavy smoker during the war, but when I saw what you could get for the cigarettes, I thought, I'm just smoking pound notes here. So I stopped smoking cigarettes and bought a pipe. I thought, I'll use tobacco. But then I found out the tobacco, you could get more for it than you could for the cigarettes. So I stopped smoking the tobacco. But we give them a fair deal. Mind you, some of the lads are a bit naughty. They emptied the tin of tobacco and put dried horse manure in the bottom of the tin and then just covered the tin with a drop of a bit of tobacco on top. But I didn't do that. I gave them a square deal. After Hamburg, we were sent down to Oberhausen in the Ruhr, which was a good thing for us because there was plenty of Americans about, so we knew we could undo our lockers and get rid of these guns.
What was your opinion of Americans?
Well, I always thought the Americans had the gear. They had the stuff and they had the food. They were very good at that. But sometimes it made you laugh, really, because I remember when we were going into the Ardennes, which I'm going back a bit now, and there was this... we were filling up at one side of the road out of tins, and the Americans were coming down the other side, and we stopped opposite one another. And I remember one of the Americans saying, "What mob are you, Ball?" And I said, "We're the East Lancs." And I said, "What mob are you?" And he said, "We're the Hell on Wheels, Div." I said, "Well, you're going the wrong bloody road, aren't you?" I remember another time, and we were drinking in one of these bars, and there was some coloured lads. Of course, in the Welsh division, which we were in, there was quite a few Welsh who were coloured from the Cardiff Port and Swansea and all that. Great lads. And one of these Americans said, "Do you drink with them?" I said, "Certainly we do." I said, "Well, why don't you drink with yours?" And he said, "Oh, no, no." I said, "It's funny," I said, you amaze me. Because I said, "You see these coloured lads driving these big wagons," I said, "with the cigars 2 foot long sticking out, and they amuse me because they can't half drive. And yet, when they get home, they have to sit at the back of the bus."
What type of things were you doing in Oberhausen?
Well, we were training on that, and actually we were training to go out the Far East, which we didn't fancy one bit. But we had kind of a fire arrangement, like a tube with a box attached to you, and you were supposed to train to stick this tube down in these potholes, these spiles, or whatever the Japs call them, which they dug in the jungle, and they popped up when you passed them. So you had to make sure you put a flame down the hole. The point is, they weren't as far as a petrol lighter. They were no good. So I didn't fancy that a bit. But anyway, that's what we were doing.
What was your attitude to the continuing war with Japan?
Oh, we didn't fancy that one bit, because we knew they'd fight to the death when we had to attack Japan. We knew it'd be more casualties again, and I thought, my luck can't hold out like this. Can't keep holding out like this. I mean, I've had Dunkirk, the invasion, one thing and another. I thought Japan will just finish it off.
So how did you feel on VJ Day?
Well, I was pleased when they dropped the atom bomb, you see. I was very, very pleased. I know a lot said they shouldn't have done, but them who were fighting, like me, I'd been fighting for nearly 7 years from 1940, and I didn't think my luck had lasted out. Now, I didn't want to start a war with anybody. I was just going through my life happily. But these people, these Germans and Japanese, started the war, and the Japanese got all what was coming to them, because they started on America, Pearl Harbor, so getting it back at them, it only served them right.
Were you involved in any other activities during this period?
Oh, yes, apart from training on these little flamethrowers to go against the Japanese, we was guarding a snaps factory because some displaced persons had been raiding it. And now, the point was, most displaced persons had gone, were getting home, but these were Russian ones, and they didn't want to go home. That was the point. So it showed they didn't have such a good life in Russia, because they didn't want to go home. And I remember they were raiding the snap factory, and we'd had a few snaps, because they used to treat us to them when we went on duty there. And we chased them, and as I'm running along the embankment, we were running along the railway embankment, I heard a clatter, and I bent down, and this Russian had dropped a sawn-off rifle. I thought, what the hell am I doing here chasing Russians? I thought, no, good for this, I'll never get home to me if I do that. Right, to occupy our time and all, we could go on courses. And so I picked for learning German and music. So we used to listen to music, and we'd be on string quartets and all that while anybody were inspecting us. But when it went, we'd be on Bing Crosby and Al Jolson and all that. So that was a nice way. But I was really interested in learning German. And I'm sorry. And I picked it up quite well. But I never took it up when I come out of the army. I wish I had, because languages are so important now.
Who taught you?
It was a young German student. And he said, Victor, you can't get it from your throat. I said, and I couldn't get it guttural enough, but still, he was a very good lad, and I kept seeing he were all right for cigarettes, because he was teaching me somewhat useful for a change. Another thing that happened round about the end of the war, there was an election, and most of the lads were voting Labour because they thought they'd have them out quicker. They weren't as military as them. But I voted for Churchill because I thought he'd done a good job getting us through this war. So I really stuck loyal to Churchill.
How were you demobilised?
Well, we had to go on the train, and we went to a place in Germany, I forget the name of it now, where we changed our German money, and our Allied money, into pound notes, into English money. And then we carried on and went to Calais, then from Calais to England, and then straight up into Ashton. We went to Ashton Barracks, where we got issued with suits and all the gear, and got our paper. We had like a post office book with what we had in. I forget, it was quite a few pounds, what, maybe about 70-80 pounds, I'm not quite sure, but you could draw £3 a day off it, you see, out of that thing. And so that were it, but it weren't a big return for 7 years.
What was your demob suit like?
Oh, it was passable, but I'd always had a lot of good clothes, because my sisters were in the good clothing trade, so I used to go down with them into town before the war and get them from hamburgers and all that, and they were okay. But it weren't a bad suit, but it did for work.
How did you find returning to civilian life?
Well, it was a bit awkward, really, because I'd been away nearly, from 1939 to 46, I'd been away nearly 7 years, and his own sons had been a butcher's assistant, and his own sons had grown up, so he said to me, he couldn't afford to take me on. So I weren't bothered. I just went up to the Labour Exchange. And the Labour Exchange said, I said I'd just come out of the army. And it said, why aren't you going back to your old job? You've got to keep your job for you. I said, well, he can't afford it. His own sons are grown up now. Oh, he said, well, if he can't afford it, tell him to send his books up here and we'll check them and see if he can afford it. So he just took me on then. He didn't tell any bother about books. So I was back butchering for a while, and then I went to another shop where I was managing. So I did all right. Got settled in quick. Rationing was a bit awkward, but with me being in the butchering trade, I had no problems there. We did a bit of swapping and chucking. And because I was going to make sure my wife had plenty, because she had a very hard time during the war, and because my daughter had to have special food and everything like that, and May had had quite a rough time, so I made sure she was going to get a good time. That. So, like I said, with being in the butchering trade, I could do a bit of swapping about, and so she weren't short of food anymore. I don't think I had any bad effects from the war, but the one thing is sleeping in the bed was very awkward, because I'd slept on the floor that long and I seemed too high up on the bed. But eventually we get used to things. So I couldn't really say I had any really bad effects from the war, only that I'd been missing my wife and child.